Word of the Lord. I do want to remind you that this coming Sunday is our Christmas. It's a cantata. Is that how you say that? Like a singing thing. And then there's going to be little dramas in between, etc. It's going to be awesome. So you want to invite your neighbors. Let's fill this place up on Sunday and give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and thanks that he came into this world and gave his life upon the cross so that you and I could have salvation. Amen? All right, so we're going to have a wonderful time this coming Sunday. Book of Acts chapter 24, verse number 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Look what Paul the Apostle is saying. I exercise myself. I work at this, that my conscience is clear toward God and man. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I thank God for my conscience. 1 Peter 3:21, the light figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Not to put in the way the filth of the flesh, but what? But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask you tonight to touch my mind and my heart. What it is that we so desire to speak on through your spirit this evening. A good conscience. It is so important and so powerful. Lord Jesus, the impact that not only will it have upon us, but those that are around us. If we can walk in confidence, having been cleansed and cleared before you, having been, Lord, cleared and right before men, we can speak with a boldness this gospel and preach the power of the gospel to the lost. And we can see the workings and the miracles of the hand of God in our life. I pray that you touch us tonight. Give us revelation and understanding. We ask it in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. God bless you. You put your Bibles down. Turn around to two or three people. Shake their hand. Tell them hello. Good to have them in the house of the Lord. And look them right in the eyes and say, my conscience is clear. Amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. God is wonderful. Clap your hands to the Lord. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of my Savior. And so we ask the question, what is a conscience? First of all, I want to tell you that every one of you have one. Now, you may have seared it, you may have closed it, you may have shoved it off, but you have one. In fact, I would probably dare to say that you and I walk with our conscience all day today, and most of us were probably bothered by it on several occasions. What you'll find is that your conscience is that nagging voice at the back of your head, like Sister Merritt sort of testified on about here tonight, that just never leaves you alone. Never quits bothering you. It's always there. It's God-given. It's powerful. And it's there to help you and not hurt you. I'm here to say tonight that our conscience was never meant for condemnation. Conscience was never designed to condemn you or cause you to walk around feeling condemned. In fact, the only reason why you and I feel condemned is because we don't respond to the voice of our conscience. If we would listen to the conscience that God has given us and that conscience being persuaded and moved upon by the power of the preached word of God, and if we would respond to it and obey it and do those things we know are right, condemnation would never have a place in my life or in yours. You see, a conscience is to see completely. We can try to convince ourselves over and over and try to justify ourselves in so many ways and so many things that we know in the back of our mind is wrong. And how do we know that? Because the conscience is never fooled. You can never pull the blind over your conscience. It always knows. And no matter how much you talk to yourself and how much you try to convince yourself, your conscience always has the pure truth in mind and understanding. And so conscience brings us a complete understanding. It allows us and makes us to be aware of the true circumstances that are around us. This faculty of mind, or this inborn innate sense of right and wrong, by which we judge ourselves and our moral character and our human conduct. It is common to me and it is common to you. And everybody say, thank God for my conscience. See, you already feel guilty. I ain't even got into my message yet. I want you to shout, thank God for my conscience. I hope before tonight's over, you will realize it is your best friend. And you'll hope that it never stops talking to you. It never stops bothering you. It never stops pricking at your heart or at your soul or your spirit or at your mind. Because your conscience is remembering everything ever preached to it, everything it ever read, everything that ever came from God. And it's trying to come at you with all that it has to keep us on that right path. Will you clap your hands to the Lord? We would like to say, and we've heard people say it, I wish my conscience would stop bothering me. I'm here to tell you, don't ever say that again. Every time you get on your knees, you need to thank God for your conscience. You need to thank God for that voice that you hear over and over and over again. It is that inner voice that you and I have heard 1,000 times. Sometimes it will keep us awake at night. Sometimes while everybody else is happy, we're the only ones in the crowd that is unhappy because that little voice is still working upon us. You see, conscience is that which is in the soul of man to discern good from evil. Conscience is the lamp of the Lord inside of you, inside of me, that shines its light brightly that it might expose wrong. Conscience is the oracle of God that speaks loudly in all of us that are here today. Our conscience is that inner person which is always unveiling the unadulterated truth in all of our actions and in all of our thoughts. Conscience is that little spark of that celestial fire which is alive in every breath of man. Your conscience is that radar that sees something coming from a distance and it tries to get your attention to turn you back on the right path. Our conscience is that natural me in you that is not controlled or affected or persuaded by appetite or temptation. It is the you that is unaffected by praise, unaffected by criticism. It has no fear. It does not respond to stimuli. It seeks nothing but the pure will of God. You can't bribe it. No. You can't feed it enough to shut up. You can't try to placate it enough to get it to go away. It is not persuaded by anything that you have to offer. It is the pure voice of God in every man. It's that little bell that rings when the car is low on gas. It's that compass that keeps your soul going in the right direction. Your conscience won't let you point a finger at others without pointing several more back at you. It is our conscience. And somebody say, thank God for my conscience. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise.
So we might ask ourselves a question tonight. I hope before this evening's over, you walk out with your best friend, your conscience. I'm telling you, tell your neighbor, your best friend is your conscience. Because when you lie to your spouse, your conscience is there to talk to you. When you lie to yourself, your conscience is there to talk to you. When you cheat yourself or cheat those around you, your conscience is there to talk to you. When you justify things and you make up a way to make it seem right, your conscience is there to say, no, 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 no. You know that ain't right. That's your conscience. So is it important? That's the question. Say, is it important? 1 Timothy 1 and 19. Will you stay with me tonight? Holding faith and a good conscience. Everybody say it. A good conscience. Oh, here it is. Which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. I'm here to tell us tonight, the only reason why we're here and not laying in some alley somewheres on drugs or drunk on alcohol or dead in a grave, because you decided to listen to that voice called your conscience. Some have learned how to push it aside. Some have learned how to ignore it. And the Word of God tells us, Paul says to Timothy, but they have ended up in shipwreck. Don't ever shut that voice off. Even if you're ignoring it, even if you're walking away from it, even if you're not obeying it, don't ever tell it to be quiet. Don't ever try to shut it up, because one day it's going to get you back on the right road. It's the best friend you have ever had. Everybody say a good conscience. Woo! A good conscience is our insurance against being shipwrecked in our life. And let me tell you something here. If you got an ounce of God in you, you can and you will never be able to escape your conscience. You see, your conscience is absolutely inescapable. He will follow you to the office. He'll walk on the school ground with you. He'll go into the grocery store. He'll find your hiding place. He'll be with you on the road. He'll fly with you in the air. He will go with you undersea. There, if there's somebody on the moon, conscience is there. If there's someone in the shuttle, conscience is there. If they're on the space station, conscience is there. And if we ever get to Mars, guess what? He'll be there too. There's nowhere you can go. There's nothing you can do. He will always be with you. Somebody shout it. Conscience is my best friend. Woo! You cannot shut off his voice. Stay with me. Conscience is a powerful preacher. You think the pastor can preach? You think that message Sunday by Brother Luma was incredible, and dear Lord, it was a masterpiece and it was life-changing. But I want to tell you, the greatest preacher you will ever have is that little preacher that walks with you every day of your life, everywhere you go, that talks to your heart and your mind every moment of the day. Somebody shall thank God for my conscience. You've heard him speak many times. His ministry spans all the ages of time. And today he's speaking on every continent into the ear of every man. Do you know that the Word of God tells us that even before the law of God was written, that men were controlled by their consciences, and that if they obeyed their conscience, then they were indeed actually obeying the law, because the conscience is what man, or what God put in man. Even when there was never a thou shalt not, there was a conscience that said don't do it. Before the law was was ever written, thou shalt not kill. Cain knew it was wrong to kill his brother because something spoke to him. That's why he responded the way he did. When God said, where's your brother? Why am I my brother's keeper? He was guilty. He was condemned. Why? Because the moment he did it, a little voice began to talk. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Why? Because God put that in us. When you met your conscience with the power of the Word of God and with the power of the Spirit, it gives you and I the ability to live for God in a corruptible world. I'm going to make it tomorrow, and God, you know why? I got my best friend with me. I'm going to do all right tomorrow. You know why? I got my best friend with me. When I start to say something, he's going to talk to me. When I start to do something, he's going to talk to me. When I start to go somewhere, he's going to talk to me. He's my best friend. He's an incredible preacher. He doesn't need the internet. He doesn't need the television. And he doesn't need the radio. You can't wear him out, and you can't turn him off. He never needs any rest, and you will never escape his message. He will always be there. Men have taken their own lives because they would not yield to the voice of the conscience. You see, it's not there to condemn you. It's not there to torment you. It's there to help you and put you back on the right road. Somehow tonight, I hope we leave with a brand new understanding that what I'm hearing is not condemnation. It is my conscience trying to pull me out of condemnation. And I'm going to tell you now, the devil will talk to you. The devil will talk to you, but he'll always push you away from God. But you'll know if it's your conscience, what God gave you, because he'll always push you towards God. No matter how bad it makes you look, no matter how much it might hurt, he's pushing you towards God. He's not pulling you away from God. He knows our only help is God. Somebody say, thank God for my conscience. The Apostle Paul had a lot to say about this powerful preacher called the conscience. In the book of Acts chapter 23 and verse number 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And in the text that I read to you, he said, I've lived in a good conscience towards God and towards man. You see, that's why the conscience is there. It's here to tell you, if you can line up with what I'm saying, everything's going to be all right with you. When it comes to man, God have mercy. That brother, that sister offends you, and you get all upset, Brother Faircloth. But that conscience says, oh, no, 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 no. What you need to do is go wash their feet. What you need to do is go apologize. But I didn't do anything wrong. It doesn't matter. The conscience knows how to make it right. Knows how to make it right. And when somehow we can get our life and we can listen to that voice God gave us and line it right up with man and line it up right with God, then we will walk in the power and in the blessings and in the authority and in the glory that God has intended for us to always walk in. You and I both know. We both know the reason why we don't obey that conscience like we should is our own pride. Everybody say pride. Our own pride, huh? Come on, help the preacher. We don't obey it because our own pride. We don't obey it because the lust of our flesh, our conscience is speaking, but our lust is stronger and we disobey the conscience, and we go for. I'm so glad for my conscience, because when it talks, Peter, it talks, and I do it anyway. Huh? I know I'm the only one, but so the conscience talks, and I hear it loud and clear. Boop, 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 boop. There ain't no missing that signal, baby. But I do it anyway. I thank God my conscience is never offended. It comes back and say, okay, we messed up. Now let me tell you how to fix it. And it just keeps on talking. And the further you keep walking in the wrong way, you think you're going to outwalk it, you'll never outwalk it. You think you can shut it off, you'll never shut it off until you sear your mind and become unreachable by God. He will speak to you every day of your life. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Paul the Apostle says, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. I like the way Paul put that. He was not so arrogant as to assume that he would never fail God, never go against his conscience. But he was in confidence to be able to say, until this day have I lived with a clear conscience before God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be thrilled to death to be able to say that. But I got about 83,000 things that my conscience talks to me about every day. 84,000. I lose count. Every day on what I need to work on concerning God. Does anybody here have a conscience? Book of Acts 24 and verse number 16. The word of the Lord says, Paul speaking, he says, and herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Paul said, that word exercise there means it is a constant goal of mine. Every day I get up, and my goal in life is to obey the voice of the conscience. Oh, I wish you'd get a hold of that. Because I'm going to tell you what makes the conscience so powerful. I can't remember hardly anything that I preached a couple of weeks ago. So I know you can't. I used to get offended when I'd see someone a few days later and we'd be talking and I'd realize they couldn't remember a thing I preached until I got to thinking. I didn't either. And I preached it. So this is what makes the conscience so powerful. It remembers every word. It never forgets a single verse, every preach, any message ever spoken, every word you've ever read, everything about God that's ever been consumed. It's wrapped up in your conscience. That's the reason why every day that everywhere you go, there's something talking to you. My God, my God, my God, what is that? That's all of God that I have. That even though I may not be thinking about it right here, my conscience knows about it. My conscience has got every word, and it will help me, my God, it will help us. I mean, how many of you know, you go to do something sometimes, and you hear that little conscience say, and you go, what? Well, there ain't nothing wrong with this. This is perfectly fine. And conscience says, I know you don't remember, but I remember what was preached in 1987. By such and such day, at a such and such time, the word of God come forth, and the man of God warned that if you start on this path, it's a dangerous path. That I know it don't look dangerous right now, but one step leads to another. And so you go to make that step, and your conscience says, And you go, but there ain't nothing wrong with this. But there's nothing wrong with this. You and I need to start listening to that voice that God gave us, because it knows everything ever taught us, ever preached to us, ever given to us. It's inside of us. God said, I write my law across your heart. My God, have mercy. It is your best friend. Everybody say, I need to exercise myself. That's what Paul said. We need to make it our constant goal every day that we live. Paul often appeals to the consciousness as the leading habit of his life. Even before his conversion, you can read how he was such a follower of the law that he understood and knew and was guided by his conscience at that time. Paul says in Romans 9 and 1, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. My God, this is so powerful. I'm telling you, this is so powerful. Because you and I so many times will either go to say something and we're not sure if it's right or not. You know what Paul's saying? If you'll just be quiet for a moment, your conscience will let you know. He said, look at this verse. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that what I'm in speaking, it is indeed the truth. Why is that powerful? I'll tell you why it's powerful. Because there's no way for you to ever know if secondhand information is true. That's the reason every time you open up your mouth to repeat something you heard, not first-handed, second-handed, your little conscience goes, Why? Because you can't bear witness with your conscience that it's true. You don't know. That's why the Bible says, let your conversation be yea, yea, and nay, nay. In other words, when you open your mouth, everything you say needs to be able to bear witness with your conscience in the Holy Ghost. You know without a doubt it's true. Then, of course, even if it is true, if it's wrong or it's harmful, then your conscience steps on another plateau and says, I know it's true, but it's not your job to spread it. If you want to talk to somebody about it, go talk to Jesus about it. That's the truth. Somebody say, thank God for a conscience. All right, let's go a little further with this. In John chapter 8, verses 7 through 9. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin. I'm going to help you here in a minute. Or maybe I should say, God's going to help you. Now, if you're without sin, you're welcome to leave. Okay, I was just waiting. Notice the preacher didn't go anywhere either. The only one that could have left, I'm glad he didn't. Because I need the anointing. Amen. Y'all thought I was going to say my wife. So they kept bugging Jesus about this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Oh my God, I'm about to tell you the power of your conscience. See, we interpret conscience a lot of times as condemnation. And it's not condemnation. It's your conscience slapping you across the head. Saying, really? Are you serious? You're going to judge that person? Can I remind you of a few things? That's your conscience. And you think it's condemnation. It's not. It's your conscience talking to you and telling you to shut up. Judge not lest you be. Judge yourself so that you're not. All right, here we go. So they kept bugging him. So he turned and looked at him and he said, look, whichever one of you are without sin, pick up that stone and stone her. And then he stooped down and he began to write on the ground. Now, he could have left, or he could have picked up a stone and hit across the head. He could have done either. He stoops back down, begins to write on the ground, and they which heard it, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Your conscience is the greatest friend you will ever have if you'll just listen to your conscience. I'm going to tell you why. At that moment, they had not been judged. But the moment one of them would have picked up a rock and threw it at that woman, they would have been judged by God Himself for every unrepentant sin that was in their life. Your conscience is the buffer in your life that is giving you time to repent of unrepentant sin. And the best time it's revealed is when you start pointing your own finger, when you open your own mouth and you begin to condemn, your conscience begins to speak to you. Hold on, hot shot. Because the moment you judge them, remember what the word said, judge not lest you be. The moment you judge them, you will be judged. And your conscience says, hold on. You don't want to go down that road. What do you say? I just remind you of a few unrepentant sins. And let's me and you go into a private closet somewheres. And let us take care of business. And let God take care of that business. Somebody say, thank God for my conscience. Say, conscience, you're my best friend. Convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. You know why the eldest first? They had more sin. They lived longer. I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounded good. Even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst. You see, conscience cannot cause you to do right or wrong. It can only remind you of what is right or wrong. It's that little something that's in me and you that tells us this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing concerning our circumstances and concerning the outcome. The Word says that it is a very important thing that we keep our conscience void of offense towards God. Now, your conscience can become weak. 1 Corinthians 8 and 10. Your conscience can become weak, the Bible says. For if any man see thee which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Now look how Paul the Apostle puts that. Here's the importance. This is what I want to grab from that in the weakness of consciousness. This is why it's important to let your conscience always scream at you and never silence it. What did Paul say? Paul said, when the voice of the conscience becomes dim, you are more apt to sin, even if you know it's wrong. If you have learned to silence that little voice that screams louder than any angry mother, learn to silence that little voice, then you're going to be more apt to find yourself crossing lines that you used to never cross. Listen, if all of us will be honest with one another tonight, there are areas in our life that our conscience, when we would go to do something, it would say, don't do it! Now we go to do it and it says, you can barely hear it anymore. You shoved it so far in the background. What's happened? Your conscience has become weak. And it doesn't have the power to persuade you in the right direction. So tonight, my prayer is that you and I wake up our conscience. Give it free rein in our life again. Let it scream. Even if you have no intention, excuse me there, speaker. I expect that to move next time. Even if we have no intention to obey it. Because I'm going to be real honest with all of us here tonight. Every one of us have known sins in our life that our conscience has spoken to us about for years. But they're not immoral sins. Or they're not hurting anyone. Or the list may go on. It's something that God has dealt with you and me on a personal level. And we've just never done it. We've heard him say it over and over and over and over and over again. But we just never obeyed. We just never did it. And that voice gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And now we find ourselves living comfortable in areas that conscience used to scream at us. It's also one of the reasons why our prayer life has died. Because when you get back in your prayer closet and you start touching God the way you're supposed to touch, he always brings up that subject. It's like you want to say, can we talk about something else? Huh? No, he's just going to bring that right back up. And you know he's going to bring it back up. So it's just a lot better not to go visit. Because he's always talking about the same thing. Somebody say with me, my conscience is my best friend. I want him to scream at me. Be
because I want to have a clear conscience before God and man. And I think if we would was to go home, we wouldn't think of all of them at first, but we could probably go home and write a list if we were to really be honest with ourselves. Write a little list of things that my conscience talks to me about concerning my walk with God. Things that my conscience talks to me about concerning my walk with men. Because Paul said my conscience is clear before God and man. You want to have peace? You want to walk in true peace with God? Start working on those. And take them one at a time. Don't get overwhelmed. If you look at too many of them, you'll just give up again. Just say, I'll never do that. I'll never be able to complete that. Just take one of them. Just one. The rest, they'll be there. They ain't going nowhere. So just take one of them and clear that out between you and God. Oh, God. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. Just clear one. Just one. Just something God's been talking to you about. Just do it or make it right or change it in your life or whatever it is. Be obedient to the word in that area. Clear your conscience before God. He's been speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking to you. The conscience just won't shut up. You've just put Bose silencers on your ears. And you can hear the baby crying in the background, but it seems like it's so far away. And you just turn up the gospel music to drown out the voice of God. Oh, yeah. The gospel music. You turn up your shout and you just talk louder in tongues. Am I getting right where we live or what? Is this not where we live? And we try to drown God out talking in tongues. When if we just take the time. And then find that one over here with man. And just clear it out. So-and-so offended me. Or so-and-so did something. Cheated you. Lied. And it's not always there, but every once in a while it just pops right back up. It's that conscience. Saying, you really need to fix this. You know the beautiful thing about it is that it's always... Your conscience is always speaking to you about these things because it is concerned about you, about your walk with God, your peace on earth, and your peace with Him. Let's stand. I've got a lot more here, but I've been teaching for a little while. I found this right here. I thought it was really good. Went along with this study. The conscience can become hard to discern, callous and defiled. It's like a blacksmith. When he would begin to work with those hot metals, his hands would blister and break out. But over the years, they formed calluses upon his hands. So they no longer blister. They no longer hurt. He handles things now that he could never handle years ago. And that's what happens to us. We get so used to living so close to the fire. That after a while we're able to pick things up. It's like that fella that walked up to by a fire pit and there was a horseshoe over there. He didn't know the fella had just put that over there. And it was no longer red, but it was still hot. He reached over and picked that up. Man, he dropped it immediately and blacksmith said, "It's hot, huh?" He said, "No, it just don't take me long to look at a horseshoe." We're not careful, we'll get used to handling things, folks. That used to burn us. We'll get used to hanging around things that used to offend us. We'll get used to watching things that used to pierce us. Listen to things that would disturb us. I remember I was with a family member. And we went into the room and he said, "Dan, you need to see this." He said, "Now it's real clean." He says, I know how you are. This is really, really clean, but you'll really enjoy this." I said, "Okay." So I sat down with him and spent some time with my brother. It was probably about 13 seconds into it, somewhere around there. GD flew out. F word came right afterward. And my brother went, "I swear I didn't hear those the first time." I said, "Well, if you don't mind, I'm not going to stay." He said, "Oh, no, I'm going to turn it off too. Let's go drink some coffee." But what really happened, he's not saved, I'm working on you, but what really happened is he has listened to that for so long that he doesn't even hear it anymore. Now, that doesn't mean it's not doing damage. That just means he's so layered that not even that can hurt anymore. And I know some people full of the Holy Ghost pretty close to that. Your conscience used to bother you, but you just turn it up. Not your conscience, whatever it is you're listening to. I'm telling you, our conscience is our best friend. Now you listen to Pastor. Don't ever make your conscience your enemy. And that's what some of us do. We make the very thing trying to save us our enemy. And we get angry at it. We get bitter. And that's why you're always angry and you're always bitter. Because your conscience is always there. It's not that person you hate. It's that voice in your head you can't stand. It's not your spouse you're mad at. You're mad at yourself. And if you can ever get alone long enough. Brother Molly, did you ever almost say something to your wife and you held it in? And you get down the road and the conscience says, "Now don't you feel a lot better about yourself because you didn't say that, because that would have been so stupid if you would have said that." Do you ever have that? That record plays in my head all the time. It took me quite a few years, but thank God I have learned to shut up. Just shut up. Somebody say shut up. When that conscience says shut up, shut up. It knows what it's talking about. And he's your best friend. And if we'll learn to start listening again to our conscience, it'll change our lives. It'll help us. We'll be at more peace with ourselves. And when you're at more peace with yourself, you're more at peace with God. And when you're at more peace with God, you're more at peace with people. Amen. Well, I got a lot more here I wanted to take. Some of us, you know, you get a pain, and you take, you know what that pain is? That pain is telling you there's something wrong. So what do? We go take pain pills because we don't want to take care of whatever's wrong or give it time to heal. And that's a lot of times what we even do with our conscience. It's bugging us, but we take conscious pills You know what they say, don't you? They say, well, they're what? They're unconscious, right? Someone gets knocked out, they are. Now, why? What do they mean by that? What they mean is that this person is unaware of anything right now. They are unconscious. They are unaware of anything going on. Some of them are so unconscious they're in a coma. Don't ever become unconscious. Your conscious is what's going to make you aware. The Bible says we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. It's your conscience that makes you aware of what is going on. So this is our homework tonight. This is our homework. We're going to go home. And you say, well, what if I can't think of anything? Really? Just sit in a quiet room for about 20 seconds. And when you get to number 10, just shut it off at that moment. But we're going to have two pieces of paper. And on our left is going to be something that our conscience has been dealing with us concerning our walk with God. All right? How many of y'all got anything at all in that area? I can think of a few. I can think of a few for you. And then over here, we're gonna list a few things that our conscience has been talking to us about man, situation with man. And our homework is to take just one of those. Take the easiest one. That's fine. List 10 and find out which one would be the easiest to take care of. Take the easiest one. And I challenge us that whatever you have to do to make that clear before God, you do it. Whatever you have to do to make that clear before God, you do it. And whatever you have to do that to do to make that clear before man, you do it. And the results will be so impactful that you will run back to that list. And you'll get the next one. And you'll say, let's work on this one. And Paul says, my aim every day. When I get up, I crucify the flesh. He says, I crucify my flesh. And then my goal is to have my conscience clear before God and man every day I live. Our conscience is our friend. And learn to discern the difference between condemnation and conscience. Okay, so we're going to do our homework? All right, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus for your word tonight. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Thank you for our conscience. Thank you for this thing, this voice in us that we call our conscience that has wrapped up in it every teaching, everything we've ever learned, everything that is there. God, that is constantly trying to walk us down the right path to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to go to the right place. Father, I just pray that you will help us, that you will help each and every one of us here tonight, God, to begin to clear our slate. Father, these things that you are working upon us in our lives, that we begin to clear them out in the wonderful name of Jesus. And finally just stand up and do what our conscience has been telling us we need to do, just to do it. And Father, I pray that you begin to remind us of things that we have pushed so far back, God, that we ourselves have forgotten about them. And Lord, that you will bring them back to us, God, that we might be able to do something about it. I pray it in the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, one more item of knowledge. Your conscience will never prick you to do something that's out of your ability to accomplish. You cannot forgive yourself. Only God can do that. I mean, you can forgive yourself. I understand. But you know what I'm talking about. So don't let the devil drag some things up out of the blood and tell you that you need to go 20 years in the past and tell Johnny that you did something, and the next thing you know, he kills you. Leave it under the blood. I'm not talking about things that are under the blood. You know what I'm talking about. You got aught against your brother, go take care of it. You're doing something God's convicting you about, fix it. All right, get out of here. God bless you. I love you. You're the greatest in the world. Greet one another, love one another, be good to one another, be kind to one another, uplift one another. Speak well of one another. Amen.